World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I hope this doesn't sound arrogant. I guess I don't really care if it does. This is going to be a good one today. Now, I'm also going to say this, Betty. I'm going to pat myself on the back. The last four have been home runs. Anybody want to argue with that? That would have been some home runs. And here's what Chad's the one that came up with the line, and I kind of like it. We pick up where the church leaves off. We're not afraid to talk about some of those things that nobody will talk about, and we're going to talk about that today. Communion, by the way. Go ahead and get yourself some communion and get ready to roll here. I was thinking about how one of the things that came across, I don't say my desk, sounds like I'm important, but anyway, an issue that came up with me is really how shallow Christianity is. Let me start out with that real quick, okay? And then we're going to go to communion. But I want you all to think about this as we prepare ourselves for communion. Bring up, I knew I wouldn't be able to find that. No, that's not it. Ah, daggone it. I'll find it. Joe, come on in, man. Lead us. I got it right here. Just don't know which one it is. Lead us in communion, folks. Get the elements, and we appreciate Joe getting up clear out there in California. Go ahead, Joe.
Sometimes I call it California, Coach.
I do too, brother.
Producer, do you...
Maybe I get ahead of the producer here, but I didn't mean to. Okay, hang on. While you're doing that, producer, I figured out which one I want you to play. I want you to pull it up there. Yeah, it says, hang on, Joe, because I'm leading with this because I want to talk about this. What is this? It is number three. Pull up number three. I'm going to lead with this. All right, and then we're going to take communion. Go ahead, Joe. Or go ahead, Spencer.
Church, the god of baby sacrifice. And who was Asherah? The goddess of sex. And they would worship Asherah through orgies and unbridled sexual escapades, which 9 months later results in an unwanted baby, which you then pass through the fire to Baal. What if I told you the strategy has never changed? What if I told you there's nothing new under the sun? And as it was in Judges 6, so it is today. Planned Parenthood and the spirit of the age and his acolytes have used the same Judges 6 strategy for decades. They push pornographic, sexually titillating material and curriculum onto young kids to break down their sexual and societal mores and standards, to reduce them to their most animalistic appetites so they can't govern themselves, so they'll have more sex, so that more unwanted babies will be produced, which you can then pass through the fires to Planned Parenthood today. Gideon is facing the same culture war that we're facing today, that so many pastors refuse to engage on, because I don't really do the culture war. I just preach the gospel. No, you preach a syncretist cheap grace gospel to ensure that you don't lose any ties from the people in your congregation who you refuse to call to repentance. Well, who was Baal,
Charles? Right, okay. Here we go. That's our jumping off place today. Some of you aren't going to like it. I don't care. Some of you aren't going to like it. I'm here to tell the truth. Go ahead, Joe.
Yes, sir. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Amen. You know who that is.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that they believe on his name.
Amen.
Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with gratitude in our hearts this day, this morning. Grateful that our lungs are full and our hearts are beating, and that we are here together with the marvels of modern technology in this very untraditional fellowship of brothers and sisters. And we come to you thanking for what you've done for us, and thanking that you have seen us worthy of having this communion we take, so we may remember what you've done for us. So we ask that you forgive our sins and transgressions as we come to your sight. Bring us clean and make us cleansed in your sight. And Lord, let this be the meal that heals for us. So if something ails in our body or our spirit, Lord, or our soul, heal it now, Lord, in this meal that heals. And help us to be ambassadors for he that dwells in us. Ambassadors so that we can, you know, in the future when people see us, they may see Christ in us. So let us respond to our challenges the way that he has taught us to respond. And keep us safe and our loved ones safe. And give us discernment to know what is truth and what is not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe. Michelle, I know you're taking it. I forgot my phone, sweetheart. Could you bring my phone down here to me? Thanks, Joe. Thanks.
You're welcome, Coach.
Lies, lies, lies. Everywhere you look, lies, lies, lies. Satan's the author of lies. And I want to dig deep into something today that's really, really kind of uncomfortable. I heard somebody singing the other day, God bless America. God bless America. And I thought, yeah. Which God? Which God? By the way, what does it mean to bless? Spencer, how quick are you there, brother? Go to Webster. What does it mean to bless? To pronounce a wish of happiness to one, to express a wish or desire of happiness, to make happy, to make successful, to prosper in temporal concerns, to make happy in a future life. Yeah, I know that. I yelled at you four times. My wife, I love my wife. Thanks so much, sweetie. What's the difference between a blessing and a curse? What's a curse, Spencer? We saw what a blessing is. What's a curse? A curse is to utter a wish of evil against one, to imprecate upon evil upon, to call for mischief or injury, to injure, to subject to evil, to vex, to harass, or torment, or great calamities. Let me ask you a question. It just came to me, really. I was sitting there as we were doing communion. Would it be fair to say that the devil's team sees curses as blessings? If they are promoting evil, are they going out and doing as much evil as they can because in their eyes it's a blessing? Anybody think I'm crazy to think about that?
Boom.
When we say, God bless America, that's a great thing to say, but there's one question we have to ask. What would that question be that we have to ask? Come on now.
Which God?
God bless America. What? What's the question?
Which God is it?
Which God? Which God? Which God? We already know that to the devil's team, curses are blessings. And so to our team, blessings are curses to the devil's team. You understand the give and take here, the yin and the yang back and forth here? When we go around and say, well, we got it right here on our money. I'm looking for a dollar somewhere. God bless America. I don't even know if it's on the dollar anymore. Which God? Which God? We need to ask ourselves that in the American church. Which God are we talking about here? So I got kind of popped up. Pull up number four. I just want to show you this real quickly. Has it ever dawned on any of you, of any of us, that maybe in this battle, as Superman would say, for truth, justice, in the American way, could it be we're on the wrong team? Not me and you. Not the individuals. I'm not talking about that. Could our governments be? Could we think God, the American church, is on Almighty Jehovah, on his team? But they're not. Can you find that, Spencer? Number four, is it coming up? Number four? Look, I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to make you nervous here, man. Okay, hang on. Are the Russians really bad? Spencer, is that number four, says Putin? Yeah. Are the Russians really bad? Or does our government tell us the Russians are really bad? Who kills more people around the world? The American system or the Russians? I'm just asking. Who's responsible for the death of more innocent people? Is there any country in the world that's more involved with killing of innocent people than the United States of America? Can somebody name a country that kills more innocent people than the government of the United States of America? And then maybe we better stop as we consider that. Maybe we better stop and ask ourselves as we say, God bless America, which God are we talking to? Because the God I serve has a name. And that name is not allowed to be mentioned in the American government. You with me? Are we being deceived? Are the teams, I'm sorry, is the team America, is that a good team? Because we know this, everything we know about Russia, the American government told us. Said, oh, no, coach, I saw it. It wasn't the government, coach, I saw it on CNN. Oh, okay. I saw it on NBC, coach. I saw it on MSNBC. No, America's good because we kill babies and we're for transgenderism and we're for divorce and we're for cutting off mutilating little babies' ding-dongs and we have fake money, but we're good. Folks, are you looking at the fruit of America? Hang on now. I'm going to try to show you something here today. Now, I don't speak Russian. I don't speak Russian. So I don't know if this is valid or not. This is a very, very brief speech. Oh,
they are lying all the
time. This is a this is a very, very brief clip of Putin talking about the Olympics. And as I watched this morning, I thought, dang. Go ahead and play that. No, no, no. Listen, you have to read the captions along. Okay? So I'm going to try to, this is really, some of you are listening and can't see it. Okay? So I'm going to read what Putin says. Go ahead, Spence.
The time. They twist historical facts.
They're lying all the time.
They keep attacking our culture and the Russian Orthodox Church.
Hang on a minute. Spencer, let's go slower. Can it go slower? Probably. Okay, okay. I'm sorry. Let's start again.
They are lying all the time.
This is Putin. This is Putin. This isn't Biden. This is Putin. Go ahead.
They are lying all the time. They twist historical facts. They keep attacking our culture and the Russian Orthodox Church. Look what they are doing to their own people. It is all about the destruction of the family, of cultural and national identity, perversion and abuse of children, including pedophilia, all of which are declared normal in their life. They are forcing the priests to bless same-sex marriages. Bless their hearts. Let them do as they please. Look at the Holy Scripture and the main books of other world religions. They say it all, including that family is the union of a man and a woman. But these sacred texts are now being questioned. Reportedly, the Church of England is planning to explore the idea of a gender-neutral God. What is there to say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Millions of people in the West realize that they are being led to a spiritual disaster. Frankly, the elite appear to have gone crazy, and it looks like there is no cure for that.
Anybody want to argue with that? Huh? Are they putting Putin's, are somebody putting their words in Putin's mouth? Is he just mouthing something? Can you imagine Joe Biden saying this? Kamala Harris, can you imagine Kamala, can you imagine Donald Trump saying this? Has a coup, a real coup, been pulled on America? Pull up, Matthew 18, is that what I said? And at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Pretty profound question, isn't it? The kingdom of God, that's a whole nother show. And Jesus called a little guy, called his little grandson over, called over my little grandson, Declan. And he set him on his lap. And he said, unless you be converted, become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Folks, now listen, this is not heaven, your final resting place. It's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven within us, right? The same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me. By the way, what is sitting on his lap? What is it that's sitting? Is there a transgender sitting on his lap? Is there a homo sitting on his lap? Is there a pagan sitting? No, no, no. It's some little child sitting on his lap. And he said, whosoever shall receive one little child in my name receives me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it'd be better for him that a millstone would hang around his neck than he were thrown, drowned in the depth of the sea. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Does this pronouncement apply only to individuals? Or does this apply to governmental authorities? And we wonder why America seems to be going down the tube. I'm the eternal optimist. I think the sun's going up, but I think justice and judgment are coming. I think they are. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto the man who does it. Woe to that guy. Wherefore, if your hand or your foot offend you, cut it off and cast him away from me. It's better to enter the world halt and maimed rather than, two hands and 2 feet and to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye offend you, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It's better to be blind. Take heed, ye that despise not one of these little. Comes back to the kids again. For I say unto you, that in heaven the angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Something about our children. And the question I want to ask, God bless America today, is why don't we love our children? Why don't we love our children? And are you and I going to stand before the Lord and give an account of the fact that we put our children in public education and paid for doctrines of devils to be taught to the children in the public schools? Wait a minute. Not only my kids, my neighbor's kids. I wasn't content just letting them teach lies to my children. No, I had to make sure they taught it to my neighbor's children. Oh, and by the way, the pastors are supporters of local schools. Sorry. Pastor want to get run out of the pulpit, start talking about homeschooling your children. Why? Because, they got a good football team, good basketball team, cheerleading. Have you seen their band? You don't say amen. I'm all over it. And so is it possible that right here, right now, that we're reaping what we sow, that in fact a millstone is thrown over around our neck? Okay, I'm going to go to number 9 real quick. Go to number 9. No, I'm not talking about abortion. How many abortions occur in the United States? Time out a minute. What is an abortion? Anybody know? Hang on a minute. Time out. Folks, if you've taken part in one and you've confessed it, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. But I want you to know that individual act of sin has impacted our nation. You with me? In 2021, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported a total of 625,973 abortions from 46 states and Washington, D.C. This is a 9% increase. Now, wait a minute. I thought the Supreme Court said there wasn't a right to an abortion. Did I miss something somewhere? So effectively, overturning Roe versus Wade had no effect at all. So we can see consistently the number of babies we have been murdering. Staggering, isn't it? Scroll on down a little bit, Spencer. It might be something else on the sheet I want to show. It doesn't matter. Okay, now I don't have time. Where abortions will come. Yeah, you got to read through. Put in a chat. Okay, Spencer. So here's what it is. It's the worship of Baal. Pull up for me number 8. Number 8. I'm just kind of doodling around. Man, I got to get you all in here. Baal. Pictures of Baal. Just scroll some of those, Spencer. Who is this dude? Baal worship. Baal, whatever you want to call him. Who is this guy? The prophet Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Who's this dude? Now, I'm going to bet you this. And I'm going to put me in this. If they gave me, if I was like taking the bar exam and I had to give a great definition of Baal and what he did and what, I couldn't pass it. Anybody out there said, Coach, I could pass it? Hey, Roger Weaver, could you pass a test on Baal? You don't have to answer because I know you couldn't. And what we don't understand is Baal is the God that we are serving. So much of what we see, you have sex for pleasure outside of marriage, then it leads to murder. But it's not just murder, it's taking what belongs to God. Better if you put a millstone around your neck, throw yourself in the ocean, than to take one of those things that belongs to God and give it to Baal. Baal's all over America, he's all over Washington, D.C. So I thought maybe we ought to figure out who is Baal. Pull up number 3. I'm not, folks, this is not about abortion. This is not about abortion. I'm sorry if it's coming across that. Abortion is simply a sign of who it is. I like that. Stupid me. So go to number 5. No, go to number 6. I got, folks, I've been working. There you go. That's a good one. Does anybody know who Baal was? We call it Baal worship. Baal. Go ahead. 1.5 speed.
Who is Baal? What do we know about the religion surrounding this Canaanite deity? And how did it affect those in the Old Testament? Before we explore what Scripture says about Baal, let's establish a brief depiction of the Canaanite deity. Baal was the title of the god worshipped in ancient Canaan and Phoenicia. The worship of Baal penetrated Jewish religious life during the period of the Judges, became common in Israel during the rule of Ahab, and also influenced Judah. Baal is a Canaanite and Phoenician deity, and the son of the chief god El. In artistic depictions and archaeological finds, Baal took the shape of a bull or ram, and had associations with fertility. This god also, apparently according to Canaanite lore, defeated El and had associations with the sun and thunder. And of all the foreign gods the Israelites came into contact with, they appeared to struggle the most with worshiping this one. What does the Bible say about Baal? No doubt, we can't cover the breadth of verses on Baal here, but we should note that Baal becomes a big player in the book of Judges, and during the time of the kings when Israel appears to succumb most to the foreign pantheons. For instance, Hezekiah's son rebuilds the shrines of Baal and the Canaanite goddess Asherah that Hezekiah had torn down. He rebuilt the high places his father, Hezekiah, had destroyed. He also erected altars to Baal and made an Asherah pole, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them, 2 Kings 21:3. One of the most famous instances of Israel going head-to-head with the prophets of Baal comes from 1 Kings 18. In this chapter, the prophet Elijah and the prophets of Baal have a showdown to prove the power of their god and gods. Elijah remains silent during the exchange, whereas God showers a sopping wet altar with fire. All 450 prophets of Baal do not escape the slaughter that takes place after that. In short, Scripture has nothing positive to say about Baal. Most often, it condemns Baal worship. An example of Israel going after Baal leads to their loss of direction and, ultimately, scattering at the hands of the Assyrians and the Babylonians. A brief history of Baal and how it affected the Jewish people. If anyone could get an award for having the worst neighbors, it would most likely go to the ancient Israelites. It seemed they couldn't border a single person who didn't try to destroy them or convince them to worship their own gods. And that happened with the Canaanites and Baal. Archaeological excavations have dated information about Baal back as far as the 2nd millennium BC, and the spread of Baal worship caught fire in Egypt in 1400 BC. But it could have existed long before that, when God established the law, including laws against eating pork, since pig slaughter and sacrifice were a hallmark of Baal worship. Baal worship also included, at times, child sacrifice, which we see some Israelite kings engaging with later on. Despite God's efforts to dissuade them, the Israelites engaged with the Canaanite culture a little too much and adopted their practices, including Baal worship. Even as the Canaanite religion waned, Baal took on a new role as Zeus in the ancient Greek pantheon. Not only do the Jews have to deal with the abomination of Zeus and Antiochus Epiphanes IV, but the Greek pantheon later gets repeated in the Roman pantheon, and practices from both the Greeks and Romans still exist today. Why does this matter? Evil practices never go away. They simply evolve. Baal transformed into Zeus, who transformed into Jupiter. In addition to Baal still influencing religions and pagan practices today, we must take note of what happened to the Israelites and vigilantly watch our churches. How many pagan ideas have we let seep in? What modern-day Baals have we worshipped in place of God? It may seem easy to point the finger at the ancient Israelites and say, how could you let a bull statue into Israel? How could you worship Baal? But if we don't exercise extreme discernment, we may find ourselves doing the same with modern-day Baals.
Thank you for watching.
Wow. Wow. Bring up the Ten Commandments real quickly. Boss, how quick you are. I know we don't like to talk about those. Folks, is America involved in Baal worship? Look at what we're doing and ask ourselves, in America in general, and what our government is promoting, are we worshiping Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, or are we worshiping Baal? Number one, Ten Commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Is that the United States? Number two, you shall not make idols. Huh? I could go down the list of them, but it's very, very clear that a lot of people are worshiping other things that aren't God, for sure. Pull those images back up, Spencer, that we first had up on the screen. Oh, my goodness. How about this one, Spencer? I'm sorry, folks. I'm bouncing all over the place. Hey, Spencer, pull this one up for me, brother. Pull up number 10. God bless America. 8 secret symbols hidden in plain sight in Washington, D.C. Hey, folks, do you think that Washington, D.C. is your government? But we better begin to think long and hard about that. I'm going to scroll down this real quick. They're going to open it up because I've been all over the place. 8 secret symbols hidden in plain sight in Washington, D.C. Hey, by the way, who put them up? The Washington Monument is a satanic obelisk. Now, let's stop here a second. I don't know when it was built. Tell 666, of course, all over it. So it was designed in the 19th century, classic architectural design elements from the ancient Greek and Egyptian civilizations. According to this view, the architects of the monument were simply following the trends of its time. So they say, establish this new nation and say, daggone, let's put up an obelisk. Let's put up an obelisk. Obelisks aren't Christian. Next one. Yeah, by the way, walk into the cemetery today. See how many of these obelisks you see in the cemetery. The rotunda. Alan Zeifer's already taken us through a great understanding of this. The rotunda of the Capitol building shows George Washington becoming a god. I don't have time to go through it. Next one. God bless America. The Pentagon is a satanic symbol for infinity. And ask yourself this. Come on, let's be honest. Has there ever been an organization in the world that has killed more people in the name of peace than that building right there? Go to the next one. The goddess Isis sits above the Capitol building. What? Yeah. Yeah. Isis is on top of the Capitol. Who's Isis? Well, some conspiracy theorists believe statue is actually the Egyptian goddess Isis. However, Isis traditionally holds an ankh in one of her hands, so maybe it's not her. Well, who is it? Who is it? Did you know that there's a Masonic temple near the White House? I could talk a little bit more about that, but I won't. What is a Masonic temple doing near the White House? Go ahead. Scroll down. Several important buildings resemble Greek designs. That'd be the Supreme Court right there, wouldn't it? Go ahead. Now, folks, why are they? This is 1800s. The streets form a Templar cross. Washington, D.C. God bless America. And the streets form a pentagon with the White House at its apex. Wow. Pull up Mark Driscoll, and then I'm going to open it up here. When God said, come out from among them, be separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Is it possible, folks, that the American Christian church is pledging allegiance to Baal? The American government, not Americans, not the American churches, but are the American churches complicit in advancing the agenda in the kingdom of Baal? Is that possible? What does Mark Driscoll say?
The most famous Baal in the Bible is in the book of Exodus. God delivered his people, they got together, and they created a golden calf, and they worshiped it. You would worship Baal if you wanted to succeed and be affluent and live a lavish lifestyle. Baal is typified as a bull. A calf is a baby bull. They were worshiping Baal. And see, what happens is we read the Bible and we think, those people are primitive. Thankfully, we've moved beyond that sort of primitive thinking. Thankfully, we don't worship a Baal or bull. Yes, we do. This is right next to the New York Stock Exchange. If we were Hebrews from the Old Testament, we would say, well, there's Baal, the golden bull, and we worship him because we want a bull or Baal market. A bull or Baal market is a thriving market. What I'm telling you is this, we're dealing with new days but old demons. I've said this for a long time. If the people change and things don't, that means that the spirit working through them is the same. Perhaps.
Okay, same spirit. Same spirit, same spirit. I got to show this. Going to be hard for you to watch. You don't have to if you don't want to. Wait, hang on, let me back up. You think that the American church doesn't worship the stock market? Bull market? Wow. Hey, Spencer, pull up, which one is that? LifeSite News. Which one was that, brother? Sorry, folks, number two. It's hard to watch. It's hard to watch. Federal-funded Planned Parenthood. What, you talk about a moniker that doesn't fit. Planned Parenthood. Huh? Okay, hide your eyes. This footage you're about to see is taken from an undercover. They're going to tell you really what they do with those babies. Why? Because Planned Parenthood, just like the American government, it's about money. It's about money. Go ahead. 1.5 if you can.
I might ask for a second set of forceps. Hold the body at the cervix and pull off.
Oh, we're so you gotta, okay.
So it's not.
Right.
Yeah.
See,
there are some that are like.
We're going to show you again because people are wicked. They're going to show you how they get around the law.
One more pass.
Go ahead.
One more pass. Avoid PBA. Trust me, because like I would never would have had a conversation with you if I wasn't already like fairly confident that it was going to be,
yeah,
you know, that our race is
right, right,
and stuff like that.
Empire Golf Coast ran the biggest abortion clinic in the Western Hemisphere in Houston. Clinic aborted up to 6 months and sold them to experiments. So the Jackson Supreme Court Planned Parenthood ended it June 24, 2022. Supposedly. Vice President of Abortion Access, she oversees the clinic. Keep going. This lady does the same thing. She's instrumental in NIH-funded teaching people how to kill babies and stall them. Go ahead.
Did we meet before?
I don't know.
I'm with Biomax, the fetal tissue collection agency.
No, we have it on the issue. I'm the medical director. I'm her medical director at Gulf Coast at Center for Choice.
Oh, you are?
I am.
Like the medical director for second tries, I guess.
Well, so Paul Fine is the medical director for the entire affiliate,
okay.
And I am over the abortion services. We definitely have the volume, so.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of babies.
And the quality, too. You know how to do some of the tricky, like...
Yeah, and we do our best. I mean, especially when it... You know, sometimes it's not possible.
Right.
Sometimes. But, you know, we had a patient a couple months ago who... It was an anomalous fetus, a desired pregnancy, and she wanted footprints. And so I made sure that the resident didn't do that procedure so that I was able to do it in such a way that we were able
to...
She
took footprints of the baby as a memorial to the mother.
Yeah.
We can.
We're not looking for footprints and handprints.
No.
We're looking for livers and
those
cardiac and those. Yeah.
Those I can get you without any difficulty at all. Yeah.
Good. We're looking for livers and
those
cardiac and those. Yeah.
Those I can get you without any difficulty at all.
Yeah.
So what is it? Like you're more careful, or how do you? Because I know different people.
I think a lot of it has to do with dilation.
Uh huh.
Really and truly, a lot of it has to do with dilation because when you have good dilation, a cervix that's either well dilated and or just softer and pliable.
Yeah.
Then as you bring the fetus down,
right.
You can get more of it out before disarticulation occurs.
Right. Right.
And you can get bigger pieces out before disarticulation occurs.
Right.
Then as you bring the fetus down,
right.
You can get more of it out before disarticulation occurs.
Right. Right.
And you can get bigger pieces out before disarticulation occurs.
Right.
Whereas if you don't have good dilation, then you're literally almost like, you know, because
right. Because if then you're
kicking. Because,
yep.
You know, you get whatever's in your forceps.
Folks, they're talking about the dismemberment of a human being like they're talking about cutting up a chicken for dinner. Go ahead.
Yeah.
But if you have good dilation, then more than that will come past.
Yeah.
If you don't have good dilation, then all you're getting out is what's in
it
your forceps.
It just gets stuck right there. And
so
it just,
whatever's in your forceps and nothing more. I would much rather do three or four passes than 15.
Right. Is that your average, like, 3 to 4
body
passes to remove everything?
Parts.
Yeah. Sean's listening in. She's like, you take notes on it. You track them.
Let's say take
them
apart one piece at a time, looking specifically for pieces. These are not human beings.
some that are like, I need to commit one more pass.
Yeah. Like, that's treason. See, they're showing you how they get around the rule, so it's not a partial birth abortion. They just pull the legs out, and then they reach in, they rip the arms off, but they haven't birthed the baby yet, so it's not partial birth abortion because the head's still in the womb. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm like,
to avoid federal law.
Too close.
I was like, oh, wait, she's sitting there, like, coaching her, like, watching how to...
No, but, I mean, we know, right? Like, if I'm doing a procedure, and I'm...
And it's breached.
That I'm in fear of that it's about to come to the umbilicus.
Uh-huh.
I might ask for a second set of forceps.
Uh-huh.
Pull the body at the cervix. And
hang on a minute. Hang on. Do you understand what she says? If they're getting ready to have a birth and she understands that the head's coming first, she gets a second set so she can turn the baby without having the head come out. Because when the head comes out, then they call that a partial birth abortion. She can't do that. Come feet first. And she can rip all the pieces she wants out of it. Go ahead. We're about done.
Oh, so you get a... Okay.
So it's not...
Right.
PBA. If I'm doing a procedure...
You don't use the word.
And I'm...
And it's breached.
And I'm in fear that it's about to come to the umbilicus.
Uh-huh.
I might ask for a second set of forceps.
Uh-huh.
Pull the body at the cervix and pull off.
Oh.
Okay. That's enough. Put it in the chat. Hey, friends, this is child sacrifice sanctioned by our federal government in Washington, D.C. Now, wait a minute. I'm sorry. No. The federal government says, well, it's not our decision. Let's go to Ohio and put it on the ballot in Ohio and then let the people of Ohio, let them vote on it. So we voted on child murder here and said, yeah, half the people think it's okay. Yeah, 52% of the people, yeah, that's good. Let's kill them. It's okay to kill because half the people voted for it. That's where we are. So as we pull back, we begin to look at the spectrum of what's going on. How long will God's mercy continue to extend to us when he gave us, which we whined and moaned and groaned for, the elimination of abortion as a federal right, and the Supreme Court said, yes, you are right. No right to an abortion, and it goes back to the states and not a peep from the pulpit. Don't not say amen. Not a peep from the pulpit. How can anybody watch that and ever sing God Bless America? The question should be, why should God bless America?
Boom.
We worship Baal. It's everywhere you look in Washington, D.C. Spencer, throw those pictures back up there again. Folks, Google it on your own. Google it on your own. Satanic images in Washington, D.C. It's everywhere you look. Come on in, Craig.
Well, you mentioned the bull there, Coach, right?
Yeah.
Lots of bulls. So where is the Democratic National Committee meeting?
Chicago.
And what? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because you have a president, and Vinny, you can add a boom here in a minute. You got a president that said she will sign federal law for abortion. That's their big ticket to draw people.
Yeah, that's it. And by the way, the Republicans won't even stand up publicly for it anymore.
Boom.
Huh? Yeah, they deplatform that up there. They deplatform that. You know, what's interesting about the Democratic National Committee, and this is provokes God, okay? They deplatform God, I think, like one or two things like 8 years or 10 years ago. You remember that? You remember they took God off the platform?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they replaced it with Baal. That's what they did.
See, they want to get as close to the devil as they can because they want to draw some of those moderates. See, moderates are fake Christians. They want to draw the moderates. Jeff Klein.
Coach, I've been saying for quite a while, we need to reach our youth, our young people. Last night up at the square there in front of the pretzel stand, here come, we're just hanging out there eating our pretzels. And a young couple come walking by, probably about 20 years old, boy and a girl. And she is pregnant. I mean, she looked like she's ready to bust. She told me I walked up to her, I stopped him. I said, can I ask you a question? They're like, yeah. So this is your first child? I could tell they were young. I knew it was, but I just wanted to break conversation with them. They're like, oh, yeah. I looked at him and I said, no, I said, you two going to get married? And right away, she's like, oh, yeah. And I looked at him. I said, how about you? Are you as excited about that as she is? He's like, yeah. And then she held her finger up. Look at my ring. I said, good for you, dude. So we started talking about carrying on his name and the legacy and this stuff. He said, oh, I'm not giving it my last name. I said, what? He said, oh, yeah, we're going to give her dad's last name. I said, why? He said, because my family's terrible. They're all my name, my last name's, it's horrible. He went on and said, young man, listen to me. And I tried to give him some pointers on it, some ideas, something to think about. I give him my card for church in the garage at my car lot. We got a little local church. And I said, where do you live at around here locally? He said, oh, I live right down in Gambier. I said, Gambier, that's where I live, outside the edge of Gambier. So I'm hoping these people reach out. And then I got done talking with them. It was a great conversation. And they were listening. They were thinking. I said, get in the scriptures. I said, do you believe in God? And they're like, oh, yeah. I said, well, get in the scriptures, find a Bible-believing pastor. Have this conversation before you do this. Trying to make some sense to him of his legacy, what he could do, and blessings and cursings and generational cursings. So I said, now, let me ask you a question. I said, can I pray for you two right now? They're like, oh, yes. Well, they bowed their heads right now. We're standing there in the middle of the square. I'm praying for the young couple. So I said, reach out to us because they don't have a whole lot of friends. I said, we'll find you some new friends, some Christian friends, some good people. That's what you need in life right now. So hopefully they reach out. But just, I can't remember their names, but pray for that young couple in the square. She's about 4 or 5 weeks away from having this baby.
Amen, Jeff. Look. Yeah. Roger, come on in. Amen.
Well, Jeff, I had a couple yesterday, schooled at FCA and all this good stuff, on their second child, not married, living together. It's just unbelievable. But anyways, you know, Dave, in watching that video, and then watching videos dealing with the whole transgender and homosexual sodomites, I know we think we're winning, and I know we are winning, and I want to be optimistic and all that. But my goodness, if God's judgment is not upon us, I don't know what is under those two areas of what we're doing as a culture. It is just so revolting. It's hard for me to believe that we're winning and that we're going to trump.
Can I tell you why we're winning? Let me tell you. Excuse me. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the scripture says the Lord will raise up a standard against it. Here's the way that I view it, okay? I was at Katrina. I was at several different hurricanes. I've been there. I've seen what it looks like when that water comes flushing in. I've seen it. So the place gets drenched. It's all underwater. And then gradually the water recedes. And gradually the water begins to roll out. We are at the apex of the hurricane that has stormed America. The water is so friggin' high. But I believe it's beginning to recede. And the only reason the water isn't receding faster is because those who are supposed to be bailing the water out are the Christians, and they are sitting with their bags packed, ready to get evacuated out of the storm. Somebody say amen out there. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's our problem. I think everything you said, Roger, is absolutely true. But if you go to the average Christian, they believe doom and gloom. I think the water's receding. That's what
I think that, I'll be honest, that's a great analogy. It really is. But I'm speaking emotionally this morning.
I'm with you. I'm not criticizing you.
Yeah, I think of those two things that are the foundation. God's creation of man and woman, God's creation of child, and to think of what we are doing in those two situations.
Roger,
it's hard at times to think.
Can't the church see the assault on the children? Can't we see that? Abortion, transgenderism, all the crime. See, they're not after me. They're not after me and you, Roger. We're going to go to church and we'll love and we'll sing the songs. And we have a relation with Jesus. And at the meantime, my grandkids are in public schools being taught doctrines of demons. They aren't, praise God. But you get what the point I'm making? And so we look around at the mess that's going on. There's only one group that's going to bail. The other one's going to bail. Going to the bucks bails the church, and the church isn't bailing. They don't have any buckets. They're not. They won't push back. And everywhere we look, my eyes are open. The American government in Washington D.C. serves the devil, folks. I'm telling you. If you go to Washington D.C. as a Christian elected official, you are a pariah. Why would that be? Gino. Come on in, Gene.
Can you hear me now?
There you go.
Okay. I just want to bring up, I may be thrown out from everybody. What is marriage? What makes you married? We in this country says you go get a certificate.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what I try to tell my grandkids. Be sure, if you're going to have some kind of physical relationship, be sure that's the one you want to stay with the rest of your life.
Oh, boy.
Because the minute you go and have a physical relationship, God says you become one.
Amen.
You're married. I'm sorry. How many people are guys married to?
But Gene, the church handed that over
to the government. I know. And they're wrong.
See, the church didn't stand up, number one, against divorce.
That's
number
right.
Two, same-sex marriages. The devil right in front of us mocked marriage by calling it same-sex marriage.
And that marriage license determines that whatever that two people produce belongs to them, the government.
That's right. Belongs to the government. That's right. Folks, come on, man. Come on. So we have to understand that this whole thing has been a coup from the devil. What? Hey, Spencer, real quickly. That's it, Willis. Psalm 2, Spencer. Psalm 2, I think. How old is the book of Psalms, I wonder? Was that written in 1952, 53? When was that written? Why do the heathen rage? Wait a minute. Spencer, go to my buddy Webster and look up rage. Because when we think rage, we think anger. Anger. You ever heard of a raging fire? What does it mean to rage? Vehemence or violent exacerbation of anything painful. Fury, extreme violence, enthusiasm, rapture. Why are the heathen full of enthusiasm and fury? Why? Because the kings of this earth have set themselves in Washington, D.C., in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And in the, oh, dare I say it, in the World Church of God Council, and in the Church of God and Omaha Council, and in the Bible Baptist Believers Council. They've set themselves. Who have? The rulers. And they take counsel together. And who are they counseling against? Why, against the Lord. And against his anointed. And those guys say, don't let that God thing, let's get rid of that God thing. Separation of church and state. No religion in our schools. Nobody, huh? No religion. No, whatever. As Oprah would say, huh? Follow your truth. You have to break those bands. Get them off of us. But he that sits in the heavens is laughing. And he will soon have them in derision. Spencer, what is derision? Folks, you better understand the other side's going to lose. The other side's going to lose. He's laughing at him. Contempt manifested by laughter. An object of derision or contempt, a laughing stock. God is going to make them a laughing stock. And dare I say it, I believe in our time. Because he ain't talking about devils. He's talking about the kings of the earth. and the rulers who take counsel together. We are going to see the hand of judgment fall on the rulers of the earth. Doesn't it say that, Spencer? Go back to Psalm 2. Doesn't it say that? He that sit in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sword of pleasure. There you are, baby. Judgment is coming. Judgment's coming. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. I'm about out of juice today. Somebody come on in. You don't hear this anywhere, do you? You don't hear this anywhere. So we have been blindly following a pagan God called the United States of America. Blindly, we've been following it. And then we laugh about the Social Security number and the capital letters and being authenticated. And it's all true. It's all true. United States Corporation, and it's all true. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I think the threshold to judgment is two things. Lack of repentance. And then when you start hitting the innocence, Matthew 18:6, right?
That's right.
When you start offering your children to Baal and you're in agreement with Baal, okay, then there is nothing that God can do except extinguish you.
That's right.
Because you're bringing these kids up under the auspice of demonic spiritual hosts in high places, and they can't find the Lord. So it's almost, in a way, it's merciful that God knocks them out, right? At least of the age of accountability. If you go back and you look at it, when Adam sinned, thank God he died, because he would have been left in his eternal state. That gave the Lord the plan to bring Christ, right? To bring redemption back to mankind. If Adam had not died, he'd be separated from God. And of course, we would too, because we'd be his offspring. So that's the threshold, repentance and what we're doing to our children. And if that doesn't change, you might as well expect the judgment of God short.
So the Bible says, Craig, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there might be meat in my house. And see, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to see.
Coach,
I got a question for you. Hang on a second. Hang on. You understand you pay tithes to the government. Everybody pays a tithe to the government. Come on in, Randy.
Amen, Coach. It's taxation. You're right. Coach, every move of God in the Old Testament, every time there was a revival in God's people, there was a big event. There was God. There was something happening that was tearing down a stronghold. Okay, what we're doing, Coach? Look, we're right on the edge, the tip of the spear.
We are.
We are. We are tearing down strongholds, Coach. We are in the day that should tell us everything. If God's moving on you to go do something, stand up and push back against Baal and all this systematic demonic influence. Then you're with him. That's what he's doing, and that's the proof, Coach. Our obedience is the proof.
Amen,
that
baby.
Doing something. Amen,
see, we think, Randy, we think we're in a spiritual war. We have the weapons of our warfare. We know what they're, and we don't even exercise them. In fact, can I tell you the truth? The church doesn't even identify the enemy for us, nor his weaponry, nor what are we supposed to do about it. The church has become nothing more than a gathering place. It's a gathering place of a people who are incapable of doing anything about anything around them and getting in there and flexing their muscles and pretending with one another like they're strong.
Amen.
The church is so weak, and they get in there on Sundays and they act like, oh, we're children of God, onward Christian soldiers, oh, blah, 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 blah. And they go home, and their own daggone son smoking marijuana when he sneaks out into the barn. You don't have to say amen. So what are we going to do, folks? Now come to the realization, understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that there is another king. There is another king. And why did Jesus get in trouble originally? Because he went to the king and said, hey, there's another king. There's another king. And they crucified him. It's time the church got involved and went and told them, hey, dude, there's another king.
There's another kingdom. And his kingdom is all powerful. Have a great weekend.